Thank you so much. I feel like this is Tikkun Leil Motzei Shabbos or something like that. I asked how long I should speak for, but apparently we're not in any rush. We also don't want to hold any hostages, so if anyone feels that the hour is getting too late, feel free to excuse yourself at any point. It's not a warning. I'm not planning on going for so long. But it's supposed to be back out here in Long Island. And I was asked to speak about Pesach Sheni, which is a very mysterious Yom Tov that comes this week. Yirtzeh Hashem this Wednesday. And obviously, with next Motzei Shabbos being Lag BaOmer, we need to start thinking and preparing our hearts and minds to connect to the Holy Tanur B'Shem Baruch Hai. So we'll try to delve a little deeply tonight. Hope everyone's up for a ride. We'll try to understand really the secret of Chodesh Iyar, because there's a lot of secrets. It's a mysterious month. The Yom Tovim that highlight this month, like I mentioned, Pesach Sheni and Lag BaOmer, are very, very mysterious Yom Tovim, both which I think are gaining recognition in the world. Pesach Sheni, maybe less so, but Lag BaOmer, certainly the Koach of Rabbi Shimon is spreading and continuing to spread. And, you know, like the Maharal says, Dvarim Gedolim Einem B'Mikra, big things are not by chance. And it's not by chance that the biggest Jewish gathering that takes place in the world every single year is the 250,000 to 300,000 Jews of all types and all stripes who come to Meiron, who are pulled like a magnet to that magnet of Kedusha, which is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So I want to try to understand the month of Iyar, and again, to fulfill the task that I've been assigned, which is to speak about Pesach Sheni, but also to connect it to Lag BaOmer, and to try to make sense, again, of this great mystery, and try to understand why Klal Yisrael feels so connected to a month, which, again, is a very strange month. Coming off of the high of a Leil Seder, coming off of Chodesh Nisan, Iyar seems a little bit strange, and the Yom Tovim of Iyar are a little bit mysterious. And I want to try together to delve deeply into that. The first place that a Jew has to begin when you're trying to understand any month is, of course, the Sefer B'nai Yisasker. For Tzvi Ali Melech of Dinov, the holy B'nai Yisasker, the Dinover, he called the Sefer B'nai Yisasker because his Rebbe, the Chos of Lublin, told him that he's from Shevet Yisachar. Okay? The Baal Ruach HaKodesh. And it could be that while the main avoda of the B'nai Yisasker himself was the Yom Tov of Chanukah, he even said about himself one time, "Don't ask me anything about Hanukkah because I know too much." He felt he couldn't even talk about it. It was too much to contain. But he gives us a window, and as many tzaddikim have explained, you can really not come to understand the calendar year without learning the Sefer B'nai Yisasker. He unlocks for us some of the secrets, some of the puzzle pieces, if you could call it that, for every month. And he shows us how every month have different components, different elements, which again, in some mysterious way, connect to the month. So for example, he tells us every month has a sheva. There's 12 months and there's 12 shvatim. Every month has an action or an emotion. The month of Nisan that we concluded is the koach of dibor, or sicha, to speak. Kolamar bel nisaper hareza meshubach. At the Pesach Seder, the more a person speaks, the better. The very name of the Yom Tov, Pesach, means a mouth that speaks. We come to the month of Iyar, and the action for the month of Iyar is hirhor, is thinking. So every month has an action, every month has a shevet, every month has a body part. Every month has a corresponding, in addition to a body part in the entirety of the body, every month has a corresponding part on the face, on the head, an eye, an ear, the mouth. And again, very mysterious things rooted in Sefer Yetzirah, rooted in early Kabbalistic works. Every month has very interesting components, and again, the goal is to try to take some of these puzzle pieces, these very holy puzzle pieces, and to make something of it. And every month has a name of Hashem that's connected to that month and a corresponding pasuk. What does that mean, a name of Hashem that connects to the month and a corresponding pasuk? So we know that Hashem's most basic name that appears 1,820 times in the Torah is Yod Hei Vav Hei. Yod Kei Vav Kei. That's the basic name of Hashem. It's somewhat of an abbreviation of Ha Yehovah V'Yiyah. That's the basic Kavanah when you say Baruch Atah Hashem, you say Yevracha. You should picture that Hashem always was, Hashem is, Hashem always will be. You think about the fact that the word itself, the way we pronounce it, Aleph Dalet Nun Yod, it means Hashem is Adon HaKol. That's the basic Kavanah when it comes to Shem Hashem. But the B'nai Sasser tells us, again, it's based on Sefer Hasidim, and it's based on the Arizal, and it's based on Mishnah Hasidim, it's based on very deep things from very early periods of Jewish history. He says that every month has a different arrangement of Hashem's name. Now don't get nervous. We're going to try to make some sense of this. What does that mean? It means that if you take Hashem's name, Yod, Hey, Vav, and Hey, you take those four letters, you can arrange it 12 different ways. And every month has a different arrangement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. So again, let's take a step back. So last month, the first month of the calendar, Chodesh Nisan, the name of Hashem for the month of Nisan is Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. In order, Seder. Which makes sense. It fits the theme of the month. The highlight of the month is the Pesach Seder. Everything of the natural world is returning to a beautiful Seder. The world is starting to come back. It's emerging from the depths of winter and becoming the type of world the way it's supposed to look. The trees look the way the trees are supposed to look. Flowers starting to look the way flowers should look. That's the month of Nisan. What's the name of Hashem for the month of Iyar? So says the B'nai Sasser that the name of Hashem for the month of Iyar is Yud Hey Hey Vav. The last two letters of Hashem's name are flipped around. Again, if you dive in the Sechsvard, so you'll notice that by Musaf on Rosh Chodesh, it has this in a little box usually printed in the Siddur. And when you say the bracha by Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, you're supposed to think, okay, the name of Hashem for this month is the following arrangement of letters. If you're really a big tzaddik or tzaddikah, so then you think about it every time you make a bracha. You think about it, you try to picture this arrangement of the letters corresponding to that month. So again, the name of Hashem, the letters for the month of Iyar are Yud, Hey, Hey, Vav. Okay, a deep idea. But then the B'nai Sasser tells us that every month, the letters of Hashem's name that correspond to that month have a corresponding pasuk. And that really can give us some insight. The letters are hard to read, hard to make sense of. But if we find the pasuk that hints to these letters, then maybe we can start to uncover a message. So therefore, let's go back to Nisan again one more time. Yud Hey Vav Hey Yismuchu Hashamayim V'sag El Haaretz. The first letters of that famous phrase that we all know so well from Tehillim, Yismuchu Hashamayim V'sag El Haaretz, is Yud Hey Vav Hey. What's the name of Hashem for the month of Iyar? Yud Hey Hey Vav. And what's the pasuk that it corresponds to? He tells us it's a pasuk in the Navi Yirmiyah. The Navi Yirmiyah in the ninth parak, says, Yishalel Hamishalel Haskel V'yadoah. Yishalel Hamishalel Yud Hey Haskel Hey V'yadoah Vav. Yud Hey Hey Vav. What's the Navi talking about? If we don't learn the Pasuk properly, we'll never understand what the secret of this month is. We'll never understand what Lag BaOmer is about. We'll never understand what Pesach Sheni is about. And we'll never really understand why these Yom Tov were so important to Jews in the Ichus of the Mashiach at the end of days, in these final moments before the coming of the Geulah. So let's learn the whole Pasuk. Let's take a step back and learn the whole Pasuk. What's the Navi Yirmiyah yelling about? What's he screaming about? What's he trying to tell us? So the Navi says, there are things that a person can feel very proud of. There are things, there are achievements that one can have in this world, success that one can have in this world, where a person could feel, you know what? If I have this, I have a pretty decent life. Says the Navi, I want to tell you that there's more important things. What are the things you could get caught up in? The Navi says, a person of wisdom. Al yishal al chacham b'chachmaso. Al yishal al chacham b'chachmaso. A chacham shouldn't be proud of his chachma. That doesn't mean that the Navi Yirmiyah is against being wise. That doesn't mean the Navi Yirmiyah is against us using our brains. To use our brains for all sorts of good things. But he says that's not the thing that a person should get covered for. That's not the ultimate achievement of man. And says the Navi, a gibor shouldn't take pride in his gevura. A gibor shouldn't take pride in his gevura. A person of strength shouldn't take pride in their strength. Val yishalel ashir ba'oshra. And a person who's an ashir, a person who's very wealthy, shouldn't take pride in his wealth. So what should a person be proud of? What should a person be excited about? Hi, Jeremy. What should a person be excited about? What should a person be proud of? Says the Navi Yirmiyah. Ki im bezos yishalel hamishalel. You want to have something to really be proud of? I don't know that your life added up to something of real substance. Bizos yishalel hamishalel. Now we're in our letters. Yishalel hamishalel haskel v'yadoa osi. If you want to be a proud, you want to feel like you're a proud Jew, you have a great accomplishment in this world. Yishalel hamishalel. You know what you should celebrate? You know what you should rejoice? You know who we should honor? Yishalel hamishalel haskel v'yadoa osi. If you got to know me, if you had a relationship with me, namely HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you. not to lose ourselves in Chachma, in Gvura, in Osher, but to be able to say about ourselves that my life added up to what? To a connection with the Creator of the world. I'll tell you a great story that Lubavitcher Rebbe brings in one of his volume of letters. I think it's the 16th volume. He tells a story that there was a chassid by the Baal Tanya. His name was Reb Binyamin Kletzker. This Reb Binyamin Kletzker was a lumber merchant. And he was matzliach, he was a businessman. He was creative in his way of making a living. He had chachma, he had osher. And one time he was sitting going over his accounts. And he had some type of ledger, and he was adding up the different accounts and the different people he had done business with, his various business partners and the various business dealings he had done. And he was penciling in to take stock of his accounts. And at the bottom of the ledger, when you add up all the different columns, so to speak, it says at the bottom, sach hakol, sum total, the bottom line, so to speak. And the Baal Tanya saw this chassid one time, he was adding up the different accounts. And he sees, and he's very painstakingly, he's adding up this account and that account to make sure the numbers add up, and he gets to the bottom line, where it says, again, on this form that he was filling out, it says, sach hakol, what does it all add up to? And in an unbelievable moment of holy tmimus, this chassid saw those words, sach hakol, what does life add up to? What does it all add up to? And he penciled in, ein od milvad. There's nothing besides the Creator of the world. Because if the sum total of my life doesn't add up to ein od milvad, if all my accounts don't add up to ein od milvad, then something's missing. The account's not adding up. And something's a little bit off. The month of Chodesh Iyar calls upon us. The Navi Yirmiyah calls upon us. Yishalel hamishalel haskel v'yadoa usi. Yud hey hey vav. Get to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what really matters. That's what's really, really, really important. And with that, now we can start to look at the two Yom Tovim again that highlight the month of Iyar, namely Pesach Sheni and Lag BaOmer, and try to learn a lesson from people who understood that having a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is more important than anything else in the entire universe. And whatever it's going to take to have that relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, we're prepared to do. Let's learn the amazing story of the Pesach Sheni Jews. This Wednesday, hopefully we'll eat a little matzah, and we'll think about the fact that once upon a time there was such a carbon for someone who missed out on the carbon Pesach, weren't able to bring it. There was something called Pesach Sheni. It's an amazing question, and it could really be almost a tefillah that we should all be davening tonight. Because what would happen? Let's imagine for a moment. Halavai, it should be the Mashiach came this week. Would we bring the Pesach Sheni this year? Pesach Rishon we missed. It wasn't Mashiach. Imagine Mashiach came this week, this Wednesday. Could we bring the Pesach Sheni? Are we still hopeful that maybe we could bring the Pesach Sheni? I brought along a volume from the Belzer Rebbe, from Rabbi Yeshua of Belz, and he points out an amazing thing. When we sat at our Pesach Seder, and we made our little Korach sandwich, right? Or at least we tried to, the best we could, as Ashkenazim, we don't know, with our crackery matzah. Yeah, it was a wrap, it was a lafa. Right, we're sitting there, Zecher L'Mikdash Kehillel, and we're trying to, this is what Hillel used to do. And then we quote the Pasuk, L'kayim ha'shenemar al matzos u'merorim yochluhu. Where's that Pasuk? That Pasuk is of Midbar Perek Tes. That's the Pasuk by Pesach Sheni. So says Rav Shiel LeBelz, it says Rav Yeshua of Belz, why aren't we quoting the Pasuk in Shemos in Perek Yubeis? U'matzos al merorim yochluhu. It's a very similar Pasuk. But why are we quoting, why are we sitting at the Seder quoting the Pesach Sheni Pasuk? So says Rav Yeshua of Belz, because it's a tefillah. It's not just the satisfaction, we're stuck in Galus another year, so we'll do the best we can. We'll make our fake little version of the carbon Pesach sandwich, and it's close enough, so we'll be satisfied. It's a tefillah. We're quoting the Pasuk about Pesach Sheni, saying, Halavai, Halavai, this year we'll still be zochet to bring Pesach Sheni. So according to some, yes, we have to daven tonight, we have to daven as we enter again into the week. We're going to usher in the week of Hod, we're going to come to Pesach Sheni, we're going to come to Lag BaOmer. We have to hope for real things to happen this year. Let's learn the story of the Pesach Sheni Jews. I mentioned it's in Bamidbar Perek Tes, Balos. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Klal Yisrael, Al Pi HaDibur, he told them to make a carbon Pesach. So it can begin, Vayadaber Hashem Moshe Bamidbar Sinai, Vashana HaShenis, was the second year after leaving Mitzrayim, Vachodesh HaRishon Leimah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to them in the month of Nisan and said, we need to bring the carbon Pesach. Now, this would be the last time they brought Karim Pesach for the next 40 years till they came to Eretz Yisrael. The Karim Pesach would not continue to be brought throughout the Midbar. They brought it in Mitzrayim, they brought it this one occasion, and they wouldn't bring it again. Okay. And it tells how they brought the Karban Pesach according to all of its laws. And then all of a sudden, the Torah tells us the following. And they're such powerful psukim. There was a group of Jews. According to one opinion, it was a very small group of Jews, maybe even two Jews. According to other opinions, maybe a slightly larger group of Jews. But there were these anashim who were tameim lenefesh adam. There were people who were tamei nefesh, who had contacted tumas meis, corpse tuma, a dead body. Chazal give three different possibilities why they became tamei meis. Maybe it was the individuals who were carrying the bones of Yosef at Tzaddik. Maybe it was the cousins of Nadav and Avihu, who were taking care of the bodies of Nadav and Avihu. Achrei Mos, like we read today. Or maybe, last but not least, maybe it was a meis mitzvah. Maybe Baron Sukkah Daf Chafen, maybe it was a meis mitzvah. Maybe there was someone who had passed away, didn't have a relative to take care of this body. So for whatever reason, right, whichever version you go with, for some holy, there's a holy group of Jews who were being metatal with this meis, who were taking care of this dead person. And they were tameh. And because they were tameh, because they were impure, they couldn't bring the Karban Pesach. Okay, chaver, well, better luck next time, you know? You'll come back. You're doing a different mitzvah. Nothing to worry about. And listen to how they come to Moshe Rabbeinu. They come to Moshe and to Aaron. And they say, they weren't able to bring the Karban Pesach, as Hashem had commanded in Nisan. Vayikrabu lifnei Moshe, lifnei Aaron, vayomahu. Vayomru ha'anashim ahima elav. Anachnu tmeim lenefesh adam lama nigara. We are tamei. We're tamei because we're taking care of this mace. But they say the famous, most beautiful words, lama nigara, why should we lose out? How is it fair? How is it fair we're not going to get to bring the Karban Pesach? So if I was Moshe, if I was Aaron, I would have said, listen, Chaver, you know, you did a different mitzvah. Not everyone can do everything. It's okay, Hashem's not upset at you. And then, you know, better luck next time. God willing, there'll be other opportunities in the future. You got a free pass. It's not so bad. But what was their attitude? Their attitude was like that chassid, Rabbi Yamin Kletzker of the Baal HaTanya, who said, the sacha kol is eino mavado. And a Jew who lives in that way says, what do you mean? That's not enough. Oh, so I did a different mitzvah, so I can miss out on this mitzvah? I need every mitzvah. A mitzvah is a rope to connect me to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore they came to Moshe and Aaron and complained. How many of us complain about missing out on a mitzvah? Have we ever complained about missing out on a mitzvah? Do you hear people complaining? Do you hear people complaining enough, you know, davening is too short? Right? I'm upset at the chazan, you know? I went to Maariv tonight and davening only took 12 minutes. Lama nigara! I heard there's a shul that davening's Maariv in 13 minutes. Lama nigara, why is our shul missing out? Lama nigara, it's not fair. So not fair. Right? Who talks like this? But these Jews, they live with such a sense of Kabbalah Zol Malchus Shemayim that they were able to say, even though, and they had the they knew the answer. Anachnu tmeim lenefesh adam, we're tamei, we understand, it makes a lot of sense why we can't bring the Karban Pesach, but lama nigara. How is this fair? And it's so interesting. Listen to the end of the pasuk. Lamani God, why should we lose out levilti hakriv as Karban Hashem? They don't even call it Karban Pesach. The whole time, when Moshe introduces Karban Pesach to Klal Yisrael, and reminds them that they need to bring Karban Pesach, Moshe calls it the Pesach. These Jews say, no, it's not just Pesach. If it was just Karban Pesach, so okay, so we did a different mitzvah. Why should we lose out levilti hakriv as Karban Hashem? We want to be carved to Hashem. And being carved to Hashem means every little bit of kirvas elokus that we can get our hands on, we want. And we're not mocha. And if you take this away from us, ki'ilu, you've taken away from us our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu entirely. Rav Moshe Wolfson Shlita, who's one of the gedolim in terms of uncovering some of the secrets of the Torah in our times, should live and be well, Mashkiach for Torah Vadas for many years, Rav of Munas Yisrael, the Borough Park, author of the beautiful Svara, Munas Itecha. He writes in different volumes, writes in several different places. He uncovers an unbelievable secret here. These Jews live with such a sense of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, they said, if you take away Karban Pesach, you're not just taking away Karban Pesach. You're taking away our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Levilti Hakimus Karban Hashem. And we can't live without that. So says Rav Moshe Wolfson, an unbelievable remez. Remember this one. Anachnu tmeim lenefesh adam lama nigara. The statement that they say to Moshe and Aaron, we are tamei, but nonetheless lama nigara. Why should we lose out? Rav Wolfson reveals to us it's exactly gematria 1,118, numerical equivalent of that phrase. Anachnu tmeim lenefesh adam lama nigara is 1,118, which is exactly Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You take away this from us. You take away everything. You take away our Kabbalah Tzol Malchus Shemayim. We're talking about the ultimate expression of a Jew's belief in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We can't live without this. And Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know what to do with this. He's stunned. He never saw someone fight for mitzvahs like this. Now let's think for a second. Is anyone else in the Torah, anyone else in Chumash Bamidbar make a similar claim? The B'nai Slavcha and Pinchas, the Parshas Pinchas make a similar claim. They also say, Lama Yigara, why should our father's portion be forgotten? Why should our father's name be erased? And Moshe over there also says, I'm not sure, let me find out. But there's a critical difference between the two. The difference is, over there, Moshe Rabbeinu, Rashi even says, was punished. He forgot the halacha. There was a halacha. There was a reality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already decided, what do we do in such a scenario where there are only daughters to inherit the father? How do we operate in terms of dividing the land, in terms of inheriting an ancestral piece of land in such a case? Right? So there was a halacha. Moshe wasn't sure. He asked Hashem, and Hashem says, this is how it's already written in Shemayim, and yes, now I'm going to hand it to you. And I'll attach it to the daughters of Slavcha that they should have some merit because they were the ones who brought it down, so to speak. But it had already been written on high. What about Pesach Sheni? Was there supposed to be Pesach Sheni? Was it part of, so to speak, Kivyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu's original game plan? Did Hashem want to have a Pesach Sheni? There was never a plan for a Pesach Sheni. So a couple of Jews came and begged Moshe and Aaron, Lamanigar, it's not fair. You can't take away our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because again, the sacha kol of one's life has to be enol mavado. Al yishal al chacham bechachmasa, says the Navi Yirmiyah. Again, the very name of Chodesh Iyar. Don't rejoice in your chachma. Don't rejoice in your osher. Don't rejoice in your gvura. Don't allow yourself to be defined by that. The Navi says, don't take on the title chacham, or gibor, or ashir. That's not what it's about. Yishal al hamishal al haskel v'yudoa. See, you have a connection to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it has to add up to. That's what life has to add up to. So Moshe comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu and says, no, what should we do with these Jews? And Hashem says, you know what? I'm going to create something new called Pesach Sheni. Listen to the words of the Beis Yisrael, the Ger Rebbe, from the year 1969, Tavshin Chavtes. Say for Beis Yisrael, fourth Ger Rebbe, son of the Imre Emes, grandson of the Sfas Emes, great-great-grandson of the Chiddush Eber. He writes in Tavshin Chavtes in this week's Parsha Emor, Abalinu Latov. Parshas Pesach Sheni Limud L'chol Ovdei Hashem Shelo Yisyash. The message of Pesach Sheni. When you're sitting, hopefully you still have a little matzah left over, and you'll eat a little matzah on Wednesday, and you'll think once upon a time there were a bunch of Jews who asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give them an opportunity, but there's so much, such a profound mitzvah. Remind yourself, says the Beis Yisrael, that the story of Pesach Sheni is that a Jew never gives up. When it's impossible, and you know the answer why it's impossible. And there's no mitzvah. You're asking for something that doesn't exist. But they said, Lo Manigar, it has to be. We can't be mochel on our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Al Yisya'ish Af Sheyesh Al Astaras, even if there's tremendous blockage. Al Yidei Yishtokas V'Ratzon Tov Af Machitza Shal Barzo Eino Mafsik. If you really want something, the biggest wall, an iron wall, will not prevent a person from getting close to Hashem. Ksiv anachnu tmeim lamanigara. And he quotes from the Chiddush Arim, he quotes from the first Ger Rebbe. Mahay hataina lamanigara. What were they asking? They knew why they couldn't bring Pesach. Heim amru anachnu tmeim. They themselves had the answer. Avam yizeh yesh lilmod shalo yis yayish. A Jew never gives up. Vaaf shahayu tmeim tsaku lamanigara v'oru v'shamayim inyan Pesach sheni. They shook the heavens to such a degree that Hashem says, you know what? I'm going to make a new section of Torah for you. I'm going to create new Torah for you. It's unbelievable. They didn't just bring down Torah in their merit that Hashem intended to give at some later point. They created Torah. They created new connections, new pathways of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he concludes, V'yeshchila kan mitainas b'no slavcha. This is very different than the b'no slavcha in Parshas Pinchas. That over there, the b'no slavcha asked for something, and Hashem's response was, kach suva parsha zulafana. It's already written in Shemayim. And they were zochet to bring it down in their merit. That's gavaldik. It's very special. Havakan lohaya parsha ksuva. Vakhem oru ata shenolad parsha chadasha. Pesach Sheni is a new creation. What a lesson for us to learn from these Jews who kept pushing when there was such a blockage, when they knew the reason it was impossible. And they still said, a Jew who really wants something with ratzon, we could overcome the impossible. a Jew can strive for something more. That's the story of Pesach Sheni. Let's tell the story now of Lag BaOmer. So we all know Lag BaOmer is the Yom Tov of Rishon Bar Yochai. It's the Hilul of Rishon Bar Yochai. It was the end of Rishon Bar Yochai's life. Rishon Bar Yochai revealed the secrets of the Zohar. Right? There's a lot of different things that we're thinking about on Lag BaOmer. But there's another sub-story to Lag BaOmer, right, that we may not think of as a Lag BaOmer story, even though we know the halachos are somewhat loosely connected to it. What am I referring to? The story of Sfiras Omer is really the story of Lag BaOmer. The Gemara tells the story of Meseches Yevamos Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara says, as we all know, Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, they didn't treat each other properly. Either it was a failure to fulfill what the Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva's ultimate statement was, if Rabbi Akiva had taught that prior, then it was really a terrible failure. They hadn't internalized their Rebbe's main teaching, which is to love one another, to care for one's fellow Jew. Or maybe Rabbi Akiva's response after the terrible loss of his Talmidim was the importance. He realized what a tragedy it was, and he wanted the people from that point forward to know. But the bottom line is, Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 students, 12,000 pairs of students, the Gemara says. And they all died, according to the Gemara, between Pesach and Atzeres, between Pesach and Shavuos. However, other versions seem to tell us that they died between Pesach and Lag BaOmer. Which means Lag BaOmer, and if you look in Shulchan Aruch, it seems this way. The reason we can get back to shaving on Lag BaOmer, for those who are growing nice yogurts, we can get back to shaving on Lag BaOmer because it's an unbelievable simcha. What's the simcha? The Talmid of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying. So I'll ask you a very broken question. It's from the Pri Chadash, one of the commentaries in the back of the Shulchan Aruch. And the Chidah asks it as well. What's the simcha of Lag BaOmer? Forget Rabbi Shimon for a moment. Don't forget Rabbi Shimon. But put Rabbi Shimon on the side for a moment. Yeah, Rabbi Akiva. Let's talk about Rabbi Akiva. The simcha that the Talmid and Rabbi Akiva stopped dying. So says the Pri Chadash, and I'll paraphrase. Yeah, Pri Chadash says, I don't want to be cynical, but what's the celebration? They were all dead. There was no one left to die. So it's such an unbelievable simcha. They stopped dying. Yeah, they stopped dying because they had all died already. There was no one left to die. So what's the celebration? If Rabbi Akiva had more students, they probably would have died also. And God forbid it would have dragged them. What's the celebration of Lag BaOmer? Again, in addition to everything we know about Rabbi Shimon. But what was the celebration in terms of Rabbi Akiva? That his students stopped dying? According to that Nusach, the students stopped dying not by Shavuos, but they stopped already on Lag BaOmer. Yeah, they had all died out. So now Rabbi Akiva could sit Shiva for 24,000 of his students. Finally it was over. Right, the Gezerah was over. The Gezerah was over because there was no one left to die. So the Pri Chadash is a beautiful thing. And if you've never heard this answer before, it should shake you to the core. And this is what the Chidah writes as well in the Sefer Ma'ar Sa'ayin. It says an unbelievable thing. Imagine being Rabbi Akiva. Let's just imagine for a second. 24,000. Rabbi Akiva, who had sacrificed so much. Rabbi Akiva, at 40 years old, embarrassed himself to learn Aleph Beis, to start over, and to be willing to be open. To learning Torah. The Rabbi Akiva in the Gemara Pesachim says, in my younger years, I was so off the derech, I hated religious people. I hated Talmid Chachamim. This Rabbi Akiva, he told his students years later, I hated Talmid Chachamim. I was nauseated by them. I wanted to bite them. He said, I wanted to bite Talmid Chachamim and break their bones, the way a donkey bites and breaks the bones. And this Rabbi Akiva becomes the one who spreads Torah in such a profound way, 12,000 pairs of students, and then he loses everything. So, nu? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu slams the door in your face, after everything you sacrificed, so it's Rabbi Akiva should have said, you know what? Maybe it's time to find a different path in life. Yeah, maybe it's time to be Mishalel, B'Chachma, with Gibur, with Gvura, with Osher. I'll find some other way to, that people will say nice things about me after 120. Because apparently I'm not cut out to be a teacher of Torah. This was an epic failure. 12,000 pairs of students, they all died out. And this was the Rosh Yeshiva who was responsible for this yeshiva. It was a dismal failure. Says the Chidah, says the Pri Chadash. You know what the celebration of Lag BaOmer is? They say we have a tradition that on Lag BaOmer, Rabbi Akiva started rebuilding his yeshiva. Can you imagine? He didn't take a couple of years, to gather himself. The day it was all over, on the day of the Churban, Rabbi Akiva already, with such courage, decided it's time to start building my new yeshiva. And on Lag BaOmer, he started teaching once again. And he found five students, five very special students. And he began to teach Torah once again. What an unbelievable lesson. The same lesson as the Pesach Sheni Jews. Al Yisya'ish, never give up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts you in a tough situation. Sometimes you're doing something really good. The way that these Pesach Sheni Jews were taking care of a mace. Rabbi Akiva was trying to spread Torah. And they both got the door slammed in their face. They were locked out from being connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But they said, Afal Pichin, at all costs, I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to start over. I'm going to gather myself, and I'm going to start over. And Rabbi Akiva went out, and he started to rebuild once again. What unbelievable courage of spirit. What an amazing thing, because Rabbi Akiva said, I have to teach Torah. I have to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this way. The world, the Gemara says, was in a state of shemama, of complete desolation. Tohu vavohu, the world had been destroyed. And Rabbi Akiva said, I'm going to rebuild. And those five students, says the Gemara, went on to fill the world with Torah. Unbelievable student. Who are the five students of Rabbi Akiva? Anyone remember who they are? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua. Who are we missing? So the Gemara says the fifth one is Rabbi Yossi. Again, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar, ben Shemua. But I want to tell you something very, very interesting. Because, you know, if we have to figure out if there's different nuschaos of things, and there are different versions of who the students were. Five students. The Medrash and Kohelet says there was a different group of students, maybe seven students, different versions. But if we have to find someone to paskin like, if you can say such a thing, and we have to find the most authoritative version of this Gemara, which is so deeply connected to Chodesh Iyar, and so deeply connected to Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Lag BaOmer is a celebration of Rabbi Akiva. It's not only about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It's the celebration of Rabbi Akiva, the teacher of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So if we have to find a version to follow in terms of who the students are, I think it's safe for us to say that we should follow the Arizal. Because if there's anyone who understands that base medrash of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon and that mysterious world of Torah that they were teaching, right? It's none other than the Arizal, who took the teachings of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and brought them down a little closer. And then the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh came and brought them down a little bit closer. Right? But the Arizal can give us a window into this world. The Arizal says the real version of who the five students were Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, but he takes out Rabbi Yossi and he puts in Rabbi Nechemiah. He takes out Rabbi Yossi and puts in Rabbi Nechemiah. Okay, that's what the Arizal is. I want to try to connect these two worlds, the Derech Remez. I want to try to connect the world of Lag BaOmer and the world of Pesach Sheni. And show you that, again, as we learned tonight, the story of Lag BaOmer is the story of unbelievable courage in the face of such opposition. The story of Pesach Sheni is such unbelievable courage in the face of opposition that a Jew has to say, Yishal ha-mishal ha-haskel v'yadosi, the sacha kol of my life has to add up to a connection with Hashem. And there's going to be times when even when I'm trying to do what's right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to be pushing me away. And we seem to be trying to do whatever we can and Hashem is pushing us away, but we keep trying. And we push and we push and we push and we say, Lama nigara, why should I lose out? Why should we lose out? Why shouldn't we be Zochet Mashiach? And we create a new reality. The way that the Pesach Sheni Jews created a new parsha in Torah. I'll tell you an unbelievable remez. Let's connect the two worlds. Because again, these are the two young tovim that give us life in the month of Iyar. Coming off of the high of Pesach, trying to just, you know, push along, Sfiras HaOmer, to get to Shavuos. Let's go back to the Pesukim one more time. What do the Pasuk say? These Jews come and they complain to Moshe Rabbeinu. How does the Torah refer to these Jews? Again, whether it's the group that was taking care of Yosef's bones, or there was the two individuals who were taking care of Nadav and Aviyu, or whether it was whoever was taking care of that mace mitzvah, that body who had no one else to take care of it. How does the Torah describe them? Vayehi anashim asher hayu tmeim lenefesh adam. There were anashim. But I think in this word anashim, you see an unbelievable remnant. Look at the word anashim. Aleph is Elazar. Nun is Nechemya. Shin is Shimon. Yud is Yehuda. And Mem is Meir. The five Talmidim. The five Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Vayehi anashim, there was a group of men who also felt unbelievable rejection. Can you imagine? Rabbi Akiva comes and says, come, let's build a yeshiva together. I said, Rabbi, you know, maybe you should find a different line of work. And I'm not signing up. We don't want to end up like the last group. Right? 24,000 didn't make it. The five of us are certainly not going to make it. Rabbi Akiva, I can imagine, probably had to talk them into it. I'd say, no, we have to believe. Lama nigara? What's going to be with the world? You're going to allow the world to be tov, avo, shemama, complete desolation. We're going to bring the Baruch Hu back to the world. And Rabbi Akiva, I'm sure, with great Mesiras Nefesh, was able to convince his Anashim. He convinced his Anashim to be able to say, Lama Nigar, why should we lose out? Why should we lose out? We want to be a part of something. We can't allow ourselves to surrender so easily. So now I want to tell you one more remes, a really unbelievable remes. Again, let's go back to the words of Yirmiyahu Navi. Yirmiyahu Navi says again, we could spend our life getting caught up in much more simplistic things. I mean, in life we have choices to make. Now there's a pasuk in Kohelet in the 7th parak. The pasuk says, "V'gamezel u'mazel osa alokim." It was highlighted today, actually, in today's parsha. "V'gamezel u'mazel osa alokim." In English, we call it Newton's third law. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. That's true in the spiritual realm as well. That means when we decide to push ourselves to make a positive choice, right? There's a force of negativity that's opposing us, precisely, that wants to stop us, that wants to convince us otherwise. That this one opposite that one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has arranged. When did we highlight that? Where did we have that today in the parsha? We had it by the Sar El Hashem and the Sar El Azazel. You have these two goats, right? Completely different worlds. One of the goats is going to be offered directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One of them is going to be thrown off a cliff in the strangest of ways, in this super unusual pagan practice almost. The Rechaim HaKadosh says, what on earth are we doing with the Sar El Azazel? It's probably one of the weirdest things we do as Jews, right? And he says, you read the Zohar, and it makes it even more complicated, because the Zohar says, you're throwing away your Averas to the Sitra Achra. What is Sitra Achra? You know, since when does... I thought, Zachar Kol Einon Mavado. Since when did the Torah turn into like Star Wars, you know, like there's good forces and evil forces, and they're like battling, and on Yom Kippur, like, what's going on? What is the Sar El Azazel? It's a very, very strange thing. The Rechaim HaKadosh says, Dvar Mavhilim. It's completely bewildering what to make of the Sar El Azazel. And all the more so, when you read the Mishnayos, and you read the Gemara in Maseches Yoma, where it tells us that the Sar El Hashem and the Sar El Azazel had to look alike, had to cost the same amount, had to be of equal height. I think the Sfas Emes even writes in one place, they have to be twins. So here, the totally different worlds, and we're trying to bring them together in such a way, but that's what the Pasuk in Kohelet says in the 7th parak. V'gamezel u'mazel osa alokim. As Jews, we have to realize that every move that we make, there's something that's so precisely opposing us. And when we make that right choice, when we're able to make that right choice, the Sfarim even bring a remez. Gamez es zeh l'uma zeh osa elokim. Is Rashi Tevos Azazel. That's what the Sar El Azazel is about. There's something that's going to try to stop you. That's going to try to convince you to give up. Not to be able to say, lama nigara. Right? Why should we lose out? But to say, we know why we lost out. You know why we lost out? Because anachnu tmeim lenefesh adam, because we're tamei. These Jews didn't say that. These Jews said, listen, we know we're not the greatest Jews ever. We know we're tamei, right? But we need a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We need to bring the vilti hakriv karban Hashem. We're not going to bring the karban Hashem. We're not going to have kirvas elokus. We're not going to have life itself. We're not going to be satisfied being a chacham or a givor or an ashir. We're going to choose. We're going to choose to live differently. We're going to choose to make this push. To petition the HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us an opportunity. So I want to end with an unbelievable remez that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me this week. Really a gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me. Chodesh Iyar. Says the Navi. Al Yishalel Chacham B'Chachmasa. Don't rejoice in your Chachma. Being a Chacham is a great thing. But that's not what it's about. Al Yishalel Gibor B'Gvurasa. Don't allow yourself to be called a Gibor and to be satisfied. Again, whether Gvura means physical strength, whether Gvura means even a strength of spirit, that's still not enough. Al Yishalel Ashir Ba'Oshra. The Ashir can't rejoice in his Ashirus. Rather, what? What was the name of Hashem for the month of Iyar? Yishalel Ham Yishalel Haskel V'Yadosi. Right? Yud Hei Heva. That we should rejoice with our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chodesh Iyar gives us two Yom Tovim. Two unbelievable stories of courage. Two stories of Jews who said, we're going to keep going no matter what. The story of Pesach Sheni and the story of Lag Ba'Omer. Listen to this remez. If you take the Gematria, what Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, don't be satisfied being a Chacham, or a Gibor, or an Ashir. If you add up the Gematria of Chacham plus Gibor plus Ashir, is Gematria 859. What else is exactly 859? What do we have? What's the alternate choice that Yirmiyahu HaNavi is begging us to take? We could choose the path of Pesach Sheni and the path of Lag Ba'Omer. What's the Gematria of Pesach Sheni plus Lag Ba'Omer? Also exactly 859. We have a choice to make this week, heading into next Motzei Shabbos. We could say, you know what? I'm a Chacham. I'm a chacham, and I'm a good chacham. I create all sorts of interesting things. Maybe I even cure diseases. I come up with all sorts of things. I'm a big chacham. I publish in articles in important, you know, journals. And I earn a lot of recognition. And it's very worthwhile. And Yirmiyahu HaNavi is not being, he's not being scornful. He's not saying it's worthless. He's saying, but there's something so much more important that a Jew has to know. And that's the connection to HaKadosh Baruch. And there's too many people, unfortunately, says Yirmiyahu HaNavi, who numb themselves with their chachma, and they numb themselves with their gvura, and they numb themselves with their ashiras, and they miss out on the most important thing in the world. Chacham plus gibur plus asher. The things that Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, be careful, watch out for these things. That's not what it's about. It's Gematria 859. Pesach Sheni plus Lag BaOmer is also 859. So Mirtz Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the strength to make the right choice, to understand the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu with everything that life is all about. Al Yishalal, Al Yishalal, not to rejoice in them. Ki Bezoos Yishalal HaMishalal Haskel V'Yadol Asi. I want to thank you so much. Thank the Costells again for opening their home, for allowing me to come and to learn with you. And Mirtz Hashem, we should still be Zocha this year. As again, as already alluded to by the Pesach Seder, we should be zochet to eat the carbon Pesach Sheni this year. The Kodesh Baruch Hu should hear our cries of Lama Nigara, and Emir Tzashem will be zochet to dance with Rabbi Shimon on his Gula on his big wedding, and be zochet to eat the Gula Shleim of Meher Ben Meher.